Everyone in the Lycan Fortress believed Ilara was nothing more than a low-born mute maid, bought to scrub cold stone floors and wipe away the blood left behind after the cursed Alpha lost control. No one dared enter the chamber locked with silver chains, where the Wolf King who once forced seven packs to bow now lived like a beast waiting for madness to finish him. Ilara was the only one who did not fear him. On the first night, she was forced to carry water into his cell. She saw past the blood and claws and found a man biting into his own hand so he would not hurt anyone else. From the moment her trembling hands cleaned his wounds, the curse buried inside the stone walls began to wake. And the one truly afraid was never the chained Alpha. It was the people who had kept him imprisoned for years to hide a secret that could never be allowed into the light. The order came just after midnight, when the halls of Blackthorn Fortress were empty enough for every footstep to sound guilty. Ilara was on her knees in the east corridor, scrubbing dried candle wax from the stone with a torn cloth. When Mrs. Vera stopped beside her with two guards at her back, the housekeeper always carried herself like a woman who owned every breath beneath the roof, even though she only served those who did. Her gray hair was pinned tight, her mouth thinner than a blade, and her eyes never landed on Ilara without disgust. "You," she said, snapping her fingers as if calling a dog, "take this water to the lower chamber." Ilara looked up. One guard held a copper basin filled with clean water. The other carried a bundle of white cloths tied with black cord. Ilara's fingers tightened around the rag in her hand. Everyone in the fortress knew what lay beneath the West Tower. Servants whispered about it over cold bread and thin soup. Warriors avoided that stairwell after dark. Even priests marked their doors with ash when the moon swelled. Alpha Kael Blackthorn was down there. Years ago, he had ruled seven wolf packs with a voice that could quiet a battlefield. Then the curse took him. Some said he slaughtered his own council. Some said he tore through a full guard unit before the priests chained him. Others claimed his wolf had swallowed his human mind, leaving only hunger and rage behind. Ilara had never seen him. She had only heard him. Some nights the fortress trembled with his roar. The sound crawled through the walls and into the bones of every servant who slept near the kitchens. People crossed themselves, muttered prayers, and blamed the moon. Mrs. Vera shoved the basin toward Ilara. The last girl fainted outside the door. The one before her dropped the water and ran. "You cannot scream, so you are already better suited for the work." The guards laughed. Ilara lowered her eyes, though shame burned through her chest. She had learned long ago that silence made cruel people brave. They mistook her locked voice for weakness, her lowered gaze for obedience, and her patience for fear. She took the basin. The West Tower stairwell was colder than the rest of the fortress. Each step down carried the sour smell of old silver, damp stone, and something darker beneath it. Blood. Wolf blood. It had a hot, iron weight that made the air feel thick. At the bottom, a black door waited under three bars of silver. Runes had been carved into the frame. Some were fresh and bright. Others had sunk deep into the wood from years of use. One guard unlocked the outer latch with shaking hands. "Go in, set the basin down, clean what you can, and come back out," he said. His voice cracked on the final word. "Do not look him in the eyes." Ilara stepped inside. The chamber was wider than she expected, lit by a single iron lamp hanging from the ceiling. Silver chains ran from the walls to the center of the room, where a man knelt on the stone with his head bowed. His black hair fell across his face. His shoulders were bare, marked with old scars and fresh burns from the chains. Blood streaked his arms, his chest, and the floor beneath him. Then he moved. The chains snapped tight. The guards outside cursed and slammed the door halfway shut. Ilara froze with the basin in her hands as the man lifted his head. Kael Blackthorn's eyes glowed gold in the dim light. his lips peeled back from sharp teeth. A growl rolled from his chest, deep enough to shake the water in the basin. His hands were clawed, and one of them was bleeding badly. Alara saw the torn flesh between his teeth and understood with a cold, sudden clarity. He had bitten himself. The blood on the floor had come from him fighting his own body. Kael dragged in a breath, nostrils flaring. His gaze pinned her to the stone. For a heartbeat, the whole world seemed to hold still. Alara should have run. Anyone with sense would have run. Instead, she set the basin down, took one cloth, dipped it into the water, and walked toward the chained Alpha. The guards behind the door stopped laughing. Alara could feel them watching through the narrow opening, waiting for Kael to lunge, waiting for her blood to join the stains already sunk into the stone. The fortress had trained them to expect horror from that room. It had trained everyone to believe the man chained inside had become a thing with no reason left. Kael watched her come closer. His breathing was rough, dragged through clenched teeth. The muscles in his arms flexed against the chains. Every silver link hissed against his skin, leaving fresh red lines wherever it touched him. His wolf was close to the surface. Alara could see it in the way his pupils shifted, in the tremor running under his skin, in the violence he kept locked behind his own jaw. She stopped just outside the reach of his claws. Kael's voice came out low and ruined. "Leave." The word was harsh, scraped raw by disuse. It carried command, warning, and something almost desperate. Alara shook her head once, his eyes narrowed. "Are you deaf too?" One guard snorted outside. Alara ignored him. She lifted the wet cloth, then pointed to Kael's bleeding hand. Her gesture was careful, plain, almost ordinary. He stared at her as if she had done something impossible. "No," he said. She waited. The silence stretched between them. The lamp above creaked on its chain. Somewhere in the wall, water dripped in a slow rhythm. Kael's breathing began to change, still heavy, yet less wild than before. His gaze dropped to the cloth in her hand, then rose to her face again. "You should be afraid," he said. Alara held his stare and stepped closer. The chains jerked. His whole body tightened, but he turned his injured hand away from her instead of reaching for her throat. That single movement told her more than every rumor in the servants' hall. He could have hurt her. He chose restraint with every shaking breath. She knelt. Kael went still. The first touch of the cloth made him flinch. His claws scraped the stone. A warning growl filled the room, and the door behind Alara opened another inch as one guard prepared to drag her out. She did not move away. She wrung the cloth once, wiped the blood from Kael's knuckles, then pressed the fabric around the deepest tear in his palm. His gaze locked on her hands. No servant had touched him with care in years. Alara knew it from the way he reacted to a simple bandage, as if kindness had become a language he could barely remember. The wound kept bleeding. She reached for another cloth and bound it tighter. Her sleeve slipped back as she worked, revealing a pale scar around her wrist. It formed a broken circle, thin and old, like a mark left by a bracelet worn too long. A drop of Kyle's blood slid across her fingers and touched the scar. Light flickered under her skin. It lasted less than a second. Alara pulled her sleeve down fast, but Kael saw it. His eyes sharpened through the haze of pain and curse. The growl in his chest faded into silence. Outside the door, one guard muttered, "What happened?" Alara stood before anyone could step inside. She gathered the bloodied cloths, took the basin, and backed away without lowering her head. Kael's voice stopped her at the door. "Name." She turned. He swallowed, as if the effort of speaking hurt. "What is your name?" Alara touched two fingers to her throat, then shook her head. The guard laughed again. "She has no voice, my lord. Bought from the southern road. Useless girl. Except she does not complain. Kael's eyes moved past Alara to the guard. The room changed. The air grew heavy, sharp, and dangerous. The guard's laughter died at once. Even chained, burned, half mad with a curse, Kael carried enough power to make a grown wolf step back. Alara lifted her hand before he could strain against the silver. She touched her own chest and slowly traced letters in the dust on the stone floor. E-L-A-R-A. Kael looked down at the name. Then he said it once, quietly. Alara. For the first time since she entered Blackthorn Fortress, her name sounded like something that belonged to her. By morning, the whole servant's wing knew that the mute maid had walked into the cursed chamber and returned alive. The story changed every time someone told it. In the laundry room, Alara had supposedly stared down Alpha Kael until he bowed his head. In the kitchens, she had fed him from her bare hand like a wild wolf. By the time the rumor reached the upper floors, she had used witchcraft to put him to sleep. Alara heard every version while carrying clean linens through the main hall. People stopped talking when she passed, then started again once her back was turned. She kept her face calm. Life had taught her to survive inside other people's stories without giving them the satisfaction of seeing pain. The fortress was fully awake by then. Warriors moved through the courtyard in dark leather armor. Servants hauled wood, water, and baskets of root vegetables. Priests in ash-colored robes crossed the hall in pairs, their silver pendants clicking against their chests. At the center of it all stood Seraphine. She descended the main staircase as if the fortress had been built for her entrance. Her robe was white, edged in silver thread, and her black hair fell smooth over one shoulder. Every servant stepped aside. Every guard lowered his head. Seraphine was the High Priestess of Blackthorn, keeper of the moon rites, guardian of the cursed Alpha's chains. People trusted her because she always spoke softly. That was what made her dangerous. Her eyes found Alara at once. "Come here, child," Seraphine said. Alara crossed the hall with the folded linens in her arms and lowered her head the proper amount. Too little would be taken as insolence. Too much would be taken as guilt. She had learned those measurements well. Seraphine's smile never reached her eyes. "Mrs. Vera tells me you entered the lower chamber last night." Alara nodded. "And you touched him." Another nod. A few servants nearby pretended to work while listening with open ears. Seraphine stepped closer. The scent of crushed lilies and cold metal clung to her robe. "Alpha Kael is ill in ways a maid cannot understand. His curse feeds on attention. Pity makes it stronger. So does affection." Alara kept her hand still around the linens. "The priests have spent years keeping this fortress safe," Seraphine continued. "One foolish girl with a soft heart could undo that work." Alara looked up then, only for a second. Seraphine saw it. Something small and hard moved behind her calm expression. "Do not mistake survival for favor," the priestess said. "He may spare you once because the curse is curious. The next time, he may open your throat before you can blink, Mrs. Vera appeared near the staircase, watching with visible pleasure. Alara understood the shape of the warning. Seraphine wanted fear. Mrs. Vera wanted humiliation. The guards wanted another story to tell over ale. Alara gave them none of it. She bowed, turned, and continued toward the linen room. That should have ended the matter. It did not. Near sunset, as the fortress bells marked the evening watch, Mrs. Vera summoned Alara to the storage hall behind the kitchens. A small crowd had already gathered. Servants stood shoulder to shoulder. Two guards blocked the rear door. On the table lay a silver crest shaped like a black wolf's head. Kael's royal crest. Mrs. Vera lifted Alara's apron from a hook and shook it hard. A hidden pocket tore open. The crest dropped onto the floor with a bright, accusing sound. Gasps rose around the room. Alara stared at the silver emblem. She had never touched it. Mrs. Vera's face filled with triumph. A thief, she said. A voiceless little thief crawling through a royal fortress. Alara stepped back, but the guards seized her arms. The crowd shifted, hungry and uneasy. Someone called her filthy. Another said southern road trash always stole when given shelter. Alara tried to pull free. Her mouth opened from instinct, from rage, from the desperate human need to defend herself. No sound came. Mrs. Vera smiled wider. Take her to the lower hall. 10 lashes with the silver whip. Let her learn what happens when a maid reaches above her place. The guards dragged Alara through the corridor. Her shoes scraped across the stone. She twisted once, hard enough to bruise her arm, but they held her fast. Then a roar shook the fortress. It came from beneath the west tower. Every torch in the corridor flared blue-white. Dust fell from the ceiling. Far below, metal screamed as one of the silver chains cracked. The guard stopped moving. A second roar followed, clearer than the first, shaped around a single word that rolled through the stones like thunder. Alara! The guards let go of Alara as if her skin had burned them. For one breath, nobody moved. The lower hall stood frozen around her, the silver whip still hanging from the hand of a guard who suddenly looked much less certain of his duty. Then another sound tore through the fortress. It was metal under impossible pressure. One chain had already cracked. The second was beginning to give. Mrs. Vera went pale. Hold her, she hissed, though her voice had lost its sharp edge. No one obeyed. A third roar rolled up through the stones, and this time the whole corridor answered. Doors slammed open. Priests ran from the moon chapel with ash bowls in their hands. Warriors rushed toward the west tower, half-dressed in armor, blades drawn. Servants scattered against the walls. Alara stood in the middle of it all with bruised arms and a silent throat that ached from words she could not release. Seraphine arrived moments later. She did not run. She walked fast, with her white robe sweeping behind her and 2 priests close at her sides. Her face was calm enough to steady the frightened crowd, yet her eyes cut straight to Alara, then to the silver crest on the floor. What has been done? She asked. Mrs. Vera dropped into a bow. The girl stole Alpha Kael's crest. We were carrying out punishment. Seraphine looked at the crest as if she had never seen it before. Her expression shifted perfectly into sorrow. A foolish act. Alara stared at her. There was no surprise in the priestess's face. No real question. Only calculation moving beneath soft features. From below, Kael's voice came again. This time it was lower, rougher, filled with a warning every wolf in the fortress understood. Alara! The priests around Seraphine exchanged terrified looks. The high priestess lifted one hand. No one touches the girl? Mrs. Vera's mouth opened. My lady, no one, Seraphine repeated. The order spread through the hall like cold water over flame. The guard stepped away from Alara. The whip was lowered. Mrs. Vera bowed again, hiding fury beneath obedience. Seraphine came close enough for Alara to smell lilies and silver. You have caused great unrest tonight, she said gently. Alara held her gaze. I will be merciful because Alpha Kael is unstable, and because fear makes servants careless. Seraphine reached out and adjusted the torn sleeve at Alara's wrist. Her fingers paused over the hidden scar beneath the cloth. Only a heartbeat. Only enough to tell Alara she had noticed something. Return to your quarters. You will not enter the lower chamber again. Alara's stomach tightened. The order should have brought relief. It felt like a door being locked. That night, she sat on the narrow cot in the servant's attic and stared at her hands until the moon crossed the roof beams. Sleep did not come. The fortress had gone quiet after the priests descended with bowls of drugged incense. Kael had stopped roaring before dawn, though the last sound he made stayed inside Alara's chest like an ember. her name. He had called her name as if it mattered. Near morning, a small object slid beneath the attic door. Alara rose carefully and picked it up. It was the black wolf crest. Clean now. Wrapped in a strip of linen torn from a shirt too fine for servants' clothing. Beneath it lay a thin piece of charcoal and a flat shard of pale stone. One sentence had been scratched across the stone in rough letters. "Do not come back." Alara touched the words. Then she turned the shard over and wrote beneath them with the charcoal, "You did not steal this." The next night she went back. Alara reached the West Tower after the second bell past midnight. When even the kitchen fires had burned low and the guards were drunk on boredom, she knew the fortress better than most people believed. Silent girls learned the hidden paths. Servants who were never noticed heard which hinges cried, which stairs held weight, and which guard liked to leave his post to flirt with a laundry woman near the north arch. The lower door stood sealed with fresh ash. Two priests had painted new runes across the frame after Kael cracked the chain. The symbols smelled bitter and wrong. Alara had no word for that instinct, yet her body understood it before her mind did. The markings were meant to calm him, the priest claimed. Looking at them made her scar pulse under her sleeve. She set down the small tray she had carried from the kitchens, a bowl of broth, a piece of dark bread, clean cloth, a needle and thread stolen from Mrs. Vera's own sewing basket. She unlocked nothing. She only sat outside the door and waited. From within came the sound of slow breathing. Then Kael's voice, hoarse and sharp. "I told you not to come." Alara took the charcoal from her pocket and wrote on the floor. "You told me. I chose." Silence. The inner chain moved once. "You should hate me for last night," she wrote again. "You stopped them. I nearly tore through the fortress. You called my name." The quiet that followed felt different, heavy with something neither of them knew how to handle. At last, Kael spoke through the door. "They will use you against me." Alara looked at those words in the air between them, though he had not written them. She knew he was right. Mrs. Vera would not forget being humiliated. Seraphine would not ignore the scar she had almost found. Every person in Blackthorn had seen the cursed Alpha react to a mute maid with enough force to shake stone. She pushed the tray closer to the door. Kael exhaled. "Stubborn girl." The word should have sounded cruel. They did not. By the fourth night, the guard on duty pretended not to see her. By the fifth, Kael allowed her to enter again. The chamber looked worse than before. One chain had been replaced with a thicker band of silver, and the burns on his chest had deepened. He sat with his back against the wall, hair loose around his face, eyes shadowed from lack of sleep. Alara set the tray down and approached with the needle and thread. His gaze dropped to the sewing basket. "You brought tools." She nodded. "For me or the chains?" For the first time in many years, Alara almost smiled. She pointed to the torn seam of his shirt, lying discarded near the wall. Kael watched as she lifted it, shook out the dust, and began mending the rip near the collar. It was such a small thing. A foolish thing, maybe. A shirt meant nothing beside a curse, a prison, and a stolen throne of power. Yet Kael stared at her hands as if she had placed a crown before him. "You do not need to do that," he said. Alara continued sewing. "I am dangerous." She tied off the thread. "I have killed men." She folded the shirt. "I may kill again." Alara set the shirt beside him, then took a piece of bread and placed it near his unchained reach. Kael's jaw tightened. "Why are you doing this?" She wanted to answer. The need rose so hard it hurt. She wanted to tell him that she had spent her life being treated like a thing. And she knew the look in his eyes because people had tried to turn him into a thing too. She wanted to say that monsters did not bite their own hands to protect strangers. Her throat locked around the words. So she wrote on the stone, "Because you are still here." Kael read the sentence. Something in his face shifted, and for a moment the cursed Alpha looked younger, tired in a way power could never hide. Then a priest's bell rang above them. Kael's head snapped toward the ceiling. His nostrils flared. Go! Ilara reached for the tray. Ilara, he said, harsher now. Go! She obeyed only because fear had entered his voice, and that frightened her more than rage. At the top of the stairs, Seraphine stood waiting in the corridor with a lamp in her hand. Seraphine's smile was calm enough to pass for kindness in daylight. In the lower corridor, with the lamp throwing shadows across her face, it looked carved into place.
You wander often for a servant who was told to stay away, she said.
Ilara held the empty tray against her chest. Behind Seraphine, two priests waited with silver-threaded cuffs hanging from their belts. They did not move, yet their hands rested close to the cuffs. Ilara noticed ash on their fingers. The same bitter smell clung to them that had clung to the runes on Kael's door. Seraphine followed her gaze.
You are observant?
That can be a gift. It can also become a burden. Ilara lowered her eyes. The priestess stepped close and touched Ilara's chin, lifting her face. Her fingers were cool, smooth, and strong.
Where did you come from, little maid?
Ilara did not answer, because she could not. Seraphine's thumb moved to the base of Ilara's throat. Pain flashed bright and sudden. Ilara jerked back. The tray clattered to the stone. Her knees almost gave out. But she caught herself against the wall. For one terrible second, the corridor disappeared. She saw fire. A woman's hand stained red. A white wolf painted on a wooden door. Someone whispering, hide her voice before they find her. Then the vision vanished. Seraphine watched her with sharpened eyes.
There it is, she murmured.
Ilara pressed one hand over her throat. Her pulse hammered under her fingers. Mrs. Vera had called her useless. Guards had laughed at her silence. Servants had treated her muteness like a defect bought cheap from the southern road. Ilara had accepted the story because no other story had ever been given to her. She remembered no parents, no childhood home, only a trader's wagon, a fever. And the first morning she woke unable to make a sound. Seraphine knew something. The certainty settled cold inside her. You carry an old mark, the priestess said. I wondered when I saw your wrist. Now I wonder how a girl like you ended up scrubbing floors in my fortress. My fortress. The words revealed more than Seraphine intended. A violent crash thundered below. Kael had heard the tray fall, his chains dragged across stone with enough force to make dust shake from the ceiling. Seraphine's expression tightened. He grows worse when you are near him. Ilara shook her head.
He's calmer for a moment, yes.
Then stronger, more aware, more difficult to contain. The priestess leaned in, her voice turning soft as poison in honey.
You think that is mercy? It is danger.
Ilara's hand dropped from her throat to her wrist. The scar beneath her sleeve burned in slow circles. Seraphine noticed.
Show me, she said.
Ilara stepped back. The priests moved. Before they could reach her, the lower chamber erupted with a sound that made every flame in the corridor bend sideways. Kael was calling her again, though this time his voice carried words meant for the woman in white.
Touch her, and I will remember every face in this hallway.
The priests froze. Seraphine did not. She turned toward the stairwell with perfect control, though Ilara saw the fear flicker through her eyes. It was small, quick, and real.
You see, Seraphine said to the priests. The curse is learning attachment.
She faced Ilara again. You will sleep in the locked servants' room from now on. You will work only under Mrs. Vera's watch. You will not go below the West Tower. If you disobey, I will have you branded as a blood witch before the full council. Ilara stared at her. The threat should have crushed her. Instead,
It opened a space inside her that fear could not fill. Because Seraphine had finally made one mistake. She had shown Alara exactly where the truth was hidden. That evening, when Mrs. Vairashaarvaira shoved her into the locked servant's room and turned the key, Alara waited until the footsteps faded. Then she pulled a loose nail from beneath the bed frame, pried up the corner of an old floorboard, and removed the scrap of cloth she had hidden there years ago. She had never understood why she kept it. It was all she had from the wagon that brought her to Blackthorn, a torn piece of white fabric marked with a faded wolf in silver thread. Now, under the moonlight slipping through the small window, the wolf on the cloth began to glow. The cloth glowed until the locked room filled with pale silver light. Alara knelt on the floor with the scrap spread across her knees, hardly daring to breathe. The wolf stitched into the torn fabric was old and faded, yet under the moon it looked alive. Silver thread shimmered along its back, its eyes burned white. Beneath it, letters began to rise through the cloth as if ink had been sleeping there for years. She traced them with one finger. White wolf. The words meant nothing to her, and somehow they struck something deep enough to make her throat ache. A memory stirred, faint as smoke. A woman humming beside a fire. Warm hands tying the cloth around Alara's wrist. A voice whispering that silence could be a shield until the right wolf found her. The floor trembled. Alara lifted her head. Another tremor followed, strong enough to shake dust from the rafters. Then came the bells. One after another, all across Blackthorn Fortress, the warning bells broke into a frantic rhythm. The blood moon had risen. Outside the small window, the sky glowed a dark red that stained the stone walls and made every shadow seem alive. From far below, Kael's roar tore through the fortress. This sound carried pain sharper than rage. Alara grabbed the glowing cloth and shoved it inside her dress. The door was locked, but Mrs. Vera had underestimated years of servant silence. Alara had opened kitchen cupboards with bent nails, loose latches with hairpins, and pantry locks with broken spoon handles. The servant's room lock was old and proud. Pride made poor armor. It clicked open after a few hard breaths. The corridor outside was chaos. Servants ran with buckets of ash water. Warriors rushed past with silver-tipped spears. Priests chanted from every stairwell, their voices rising in uneven waves. Alara kept low and moved toward the west tower. Halfway there, she saw Seraphine near the moon chapel. The high priestess stood beside a table where three silver bowls steamed with dark medicine. Kael's medicine. The one used to dull the curse before it reached his heart. A young priest reached for a bowl. Seraphine caught his wrist. Wait. My lady, the Alpha will break the inner chain. Let him weaken first, she said. Her voice stayed calm. If we dose him too early, the council will believe he can still be managed. The priest looked horrified. He may die. Seraphine's eyes stayed on the red moon beyond the window. Then the fortress will need a new guardian. Alara backed away before anyone saw her. Now she understood. Seraphine did not fear Kael's madness. She needed witnesses. She needed the entire fortress to see him as a lost beast so she could take power without drawing a blade. Alara ran. At the lower chamber, the guards were gone. The door had split down the center from the force inside. Silver smoke curled from the hinges. Kael was on his knees within the circle of chains, his body shaking, his eyes almost fully wolf. Black veins crawled from the burns on his chest toward his heart. He saw her and snarled, "Leave." Alara stepped over the broken threshold. Kael slammed one clawed hand into the floor, cracking stone. "Alara, leave." She shook her head and crossed the room. The curse had turned the air bitter. It pressed against her skin, searching for a way inside. Her wrist scar burned. The white wolf cloth beneath her dress grew hot, and something in her blood answered the red moon with silver fire. Kale's chain snapped tight as he fought himself. Ilara, he rasped. I cannot hold it. She took the small knife from the medicine table near the wall and cut across the old scar on her wrist. Blood welled up, bright in the red light. The chamber fell suddenly silent, as if the stones recognized it. Kael stared at her wrist. Ilara pressed her bleeding hand to his mouth. His whole body went rigid. The black veins stopped moving. Then his breath failed. Panic struck her harder than fear ever had. Ilara caught his face with both hands and leaned close, pressing her mouth to his. She did not think of romance, shame, or danger. She only thought of breath, of life, of the man who had bitten his own hand rather than hurt a stranger. Silver light burst from her wrist into him. The walls screamed. The curse cracked like ice beneath spring water. Kael inhaled against Ilara's mouth, and the whole chamber shuddered with him. His hands came up, first hesitant, then desperate. A man reaching for the first solid thing after years of drowning. One hand closed around her wrist, careful despite the blood. The other touched the side of her face with a wonder so raw it made her chest tighten. His eyes were gold, yet clear. For the first time, the curse had pulled back far enough for Kael Blackthorne to look at the world without smoke between him and everything he had lost. Ilara, he whispered. She drew back slowly. Her lips trembled from the force that had passed between them. Her wrist still bled, though the old scar now shone like a ring of moonlight under her skin. Kael looked at it, then at her throat, then at the broken stones around them. Understanding came to him in pieces, each one cutting deeper than the last. What did they do to you? He asked. Before she could move, footsteps thundered down the stairs. Seraphine entered with priests, guards, and Mrs. Vera behind her. The high priestess took in the cracked chains, the silver light fading from Ilara's hand, and Kael's clear eyes. For once, her calm nearly broke. Then she recovered. Seize the girl, she said. Kael rose. The chamber seemed too small for him standing. The chain still held part of his body, but the man before them no longer looked like a prisoner waiting to be put down. He looked like a king remembering his own name. No one moved toward Ilara. Seraphine lifted her voice for the guards crowding the stairwell. You all saw it. Blood magic. She fed him from her own body and stirred the curse into a new form. Ilara shook her head hard. Mrs. Vera stepped forward with perfect timing. I saw the girl with the royal crest. I saw her sneak below the tower. She has been working on him for days. Kael's growl rose low. Seraphine pointed toward him. Look at your alpha. Look at what her witchcraft has done. Yesterday, he was contained. Tonight, he has broken consecrated silver. A few guards looked uncertain. Others stared at the shattered chain and the blood on Ilara's wrist. Kael took one step, and the remaining chains dragged across the floor. She saved me. She bound you, Seraphine replied. A cursed alpha cannot judge his own corruption. Ilara's heart pounded. She saw the trap forming around them. Seraphine had spent years teaching the fortress to fear Kael. One clear sentence from him could never undo all that terror. If he fought now, every lie about him would become easier to believe. Kael strained against the last chain, his eyes fixed on Seraphine with murder in their light. Ilara stepped in front of him. He looked down at her, breathing hard. She lifted both hands and shook her head, slowly, firmly. Do not become what she needs. Kael understood. She saw the moment it reached him, and the effort it cost him was almost worse than rage. Seraphine used that moment. The priests threw ash powder into the air. It exploded into a gray cloud that burned Ilara's eyes and lungs. Silver cuffs closed around her wrists. Someone grabbed her from behind. Kyle roared and lunged, but Alara turned her head through the smoke and held his gaze. She shook her head again. His claws stopped inches from a priest's throat. The restraint saved lives. It also allowed them to drag her away. As the guards pulled Alara up the stairs, Seraphine bent close to Kael and spoke softly enough that most people could miss it. "You always were easiest to chain when someone else paid the price." Kael's roar followed Alara through the fortress, through the chapel hall, past the staring servants, and down into the old prison beneath the north wall. This time, when they locked the door behind her, Alara was the one left in darkness. The north prison smelled older than the fortress above it. Damp stone, rusted iron, cold earth, forgotten fear. Alara sat against the wall with silver cuffs around her wrists and dried ash in her hair. The cut on her wrist had closed, leaving the old scar brighter than before. It gave off just enough pale light for her to see the narrow cell and the black marks carved into the stones. At first, she thought they were scratches from prisoners who had counted their days. Then one mark began to glow. Alara leaned closer. A white wolf, the same shape as the one stitched into her scrap of cloth. Her breath caught. She pulled the fabric from inside her dress with clumsy cuffed hands and pressed it against the wall. More marks answered. Lines of silver spread through the cracks like moonlight through water. Symbols appeared one by one, circling the cell. A voice came from the darkness across the corridor. "I wondered when you would find it." Alara turned sharply. In the opposite cell, an old woman sat wrapped in a threadbare cloak. Her hair was white, her face thin, and her eyes much too awake for someone left to rot underground. "Do not look so frightened," the woman said. "If I meant you harm, child, I would have called the guards years ago when they first dragged you through this fortress." Alara stared at her. The old woman shifted closer to the bars. "My name is Maera. I served Queen Althea before Seraphine poisoned this house with prayers and silver." Alara's fingers tightened around the glowing cloth. Maera's gaze dropped to it, and grief softened her face. "So your mother's token survived." The world seemed to tilt. Alara pressed a hand to her chest. "Maera," Maera said gently. "Your mother's name was Maera Vale. She was keeper of the last White Wolf seal. She had a laugh that made angry men feel foolish, and a temper that made foolish men step back." Alara swallowed hard. Her throat burned with silent questions. Maera understood anyway. "You were born with a voice that could break binding magic. Seraphine found out before your mother could get you beyond Blackthorn lands. On the night Kael was cursed, your mother hid you. She locked your voice to keep you alive, then left proof where only white wolf blood could wake it." Tears blurred Alara's vision. She hated them and needed them at once. Maera reached through the bars and pointed to the wall behind Alara. "There. Press your blood to the wolf's mouth." Alara looked at the old woman, then at the symbol. The cut on her wrist had closed, but the skin was tender. She scraped it against the rough edge of the cuff until blood rose again. Pain flashed up her arm. She pressed the blood to the carved wolf. The cell filled with light. A hidden stone slid aside near the floor. Inside lay a small metal tube wrapped in oilcloth. Alara opened it with shaking hands and pulled out a letter, the ink faded, but still readable. "My little moon, if you are reading this, then silence has kept you alive long enough." Alara covered her mouth, though no sound could escape. The letter told the truth in her mother's hand. Seraphine had cursed Kael during the Winter Council, binding his wolf with stolen moon rites so she could rule through fear. Maera had witnessed the ritual and saved the one thing Seraphine could never control: her daughter's voice. Alara's blood could crack the curse. Her true voice could end it. At the bottom of the page, another line waited. when the blood moon fades, speak his name with your whole heart. The wolf you save will return the voice they stole. Alara pressed the letter to her chest. Above the prison, the fortress bells began again. Myera looked toward the ceiling. The council has been called. Alara wiped her tears with the back of her cuffed hand and rose to her feet. For the first time in her life, silence no longer felt like a prison. It felt like a door about to open. The council gathered in the moon hall before dawn. Alara was brought in with silver cuffs on her wrists, her hair still damp from the prison walls, her dress stained with ash and blood. Two guards held her arms as they marched her across the black stone floor. Above her, the ceiling opened to the fading red moon, and its light poured down through iron beams shaped like wolf ribs. Every powerful face in Blackthorn Fortress had come to watch her fall. Pack elders stood along the walls in fur-lined cloaks. Priests circled the central floor with bowls of ash. Warriors lined the doors with silver spears. Servants crowded the back of the hall, whispering behind their hands, pretending pity while waiting for punishment. Seraphine stood at the head of the chamber in white robes, bright and spotless as fresh snow. Mrs. Vera waited at her side with a face full of false grief. Alara lifted her chin. Fear was there. She felt it in her stomach, in her cold fingers, in the raw ache of her silent throat. Yet beneath that fear, something stronger had begun to rise. Her mother's letter was hidden against her chest. The white wolf cloth rested over her heart. The words inside the letter burned through her memory. Speak his name with your whole heart. Seraphine raised both hands, and the hall fell quiet. We meet before sunrise because corruption was found under our own roof, she said. Her voice carried through the chamber with practiced sorrow. A servant girl brought into this fortress out of mercy has used forbidden blood rites on Alpha Kyle. She broke his chains, stirred his curse, and tried to bind his mind to her will. Angry murmurs rose at once. Alara looked toward the far door. Empty. Kael was absent. The ache that moved through her had no sound, yet it nearly bent her in half. She knew why he was not there. Seraphine would have doubled the chains, drugged the room, surrounded him with silver. Maybe worse. Mrs. Vera stepped forward. I found Alpha Kael's crest hidden in her apron. I saw her sneaking to the West Tower after she was forbidden. She never speaks, never explains, only stares with those strange eyes. Several servants nodded. A few looked away. Seraphine touched Mrs. Vera's shoulder as if comforting her. Thank you for your courage. Alara stared at the woman who had planted the crest and watched the crowd believe her. An elder with a white beard leaned on his cane. Can the girl answer these charges? A smile flickered at the edge of Seraphine's mouth. She cannot. Her silence has served her well. The words struck Alara harder than any whip could have. Her silence had protected Seraphine. Her stolen voice had allowed liars to speak over her for years. The old elder frowned. Then bring evidence. Seraphine motioned to a priest, who opened a black book on a silver stand. The ancient law is clear. Anyone who feeds blood to a cursed alpha must be judged as a blood witch. If the curse grows stronger because of her, the sentence is purification by moonfire. The hall stirred. Servants paled. Even some warriors looked unsettled. Then a crash shook the western doors. Every head turned. The doors opened slowly. Kael entered the moon hall barefoot, bare-chested, and marked by burns where silver had eaten into his skin. Broken chain links still hung from one wrist. His face was pale from pain, yet his eyes were clear enough to silence the chamber before he spoke. She saved me, he said. Seraphine's expression did not change, though her fingers tightened around the edge of the silver stand. Alpha Kael is under the influence of blood magic. His statement cannot be accepted. Kael walked forward. Warriors raised spears. He ignored them. Elara did what none of you had the courage to do, he said. She looked at me and saw a man still fighting. The hall went still. Seraphine lifted her chin. And that is exactly how corruption speaks. It wraps itself in tenderness. Kael's gaze cut to her. You fear her because I am awake. A tremor passed through the priests. Seraphine spread her hands to the council. Listen to him. Listen to the curse defending its vessel. If this girl lives past sunrise, Blackthorn will fall. The old elder looked from Kael to Elara, then to Seraphine. The law requires final proof. Seraphine's eyes settled on Alara's wrist. Then we will open the mark, she said. If her blood is pure, the moonstone will remain clear. If it darkens, the sentence will be carried out before the sun fully rises. The guards dragged Alara to the center of the hall. Kael moved and 20 silver spears snapped toward him. Alara met his eyes across the chamber and shook her head. His jaw clenched. His hands curled. Still, he stopped. Seraphine took a ceremonial silver blade from the priest beside her and approached Elara with a calm smile. At the first touch of the blade against Elara's scar, the white wolf cloth beneath her dress began to burn with light. The silver blade cut into Elara's wrist. Blood fell onto the moonstone floor. For one terrible second, the hall stayed quiet. Then the stone answered. Silver light shot through the black floor in every direction, running along old cracks and hidden carvings that had slept beneath generations of dust, ash, and fear. The priests stumbled back, the bowls in their hands shattered. Ash scattered across the hall like gray snow. Seraphine froze with the blade still in her hand. The wolf mark on Alara's wrist opened in a circle of light. Pain tore through her arm and rushed toward her throat. She tried to breathe, but the air caught inside her chest. The lock that had lived in her voice for years tightened one final time. Then it broke. The sound that left her was small at first. A gasp. Several people cried out. Mrs. Vera staggered back as if the sound itself had struck her. Elara touched her throat with shaking fingers. Tears filled her eyes before she could stop them. The hall blurred. The world had always reached her through silence, through signs, through expressions she had to read faster than other people spoke. Now air moved through the place where her voice had been buried. Seraphine recovered first. Trickery! Elara turned toward her. Her voice came rough, low, and unsteady, yet every word carried through the moon hall. Seraphine bound my voice. The crowd erupted. Seraphine lifted the blade. Lies from a blood witch. Elara pressed her bleeding wrist harder against the moonstone. Light surged again, brighter this time. The white wolf symbol spread across the floor beneath her feet. She looked at Kael. The words from her mother's letter rose inside her. No longer ink. No longer memory. They felt like something placed in her blood before birth. Kael Blackthorn, she said, her voice growing stronger with each word. Wolf of the Northern Crown. True Alpha of Blackthorn. Come back. Kael's body arched as the curse struck him. Black veins rose across his chest. The remaining chain on his wrist heated red, then white. He dropped to one knee, teeth clenched, refusing to scream in front of the people who had called him monster for years. Elara stepped toward him. The guards tried to hold her. Silver light burst from her wrist and threw them aside without breaking skin. She crossed the hall and caught Kael's face in both hands. Come back, she whispered. His eyes flashed black, then gold, then clear gray. The color they must have been before years of poison, silver, and stolen prayers. The chain on his wrist cracked in half. A sound rolled through the hall like a bell struck under deep water. The moonstone floor opened its memory. Images rose into the air. The council saw Kael years earlier, standing strong in the winter chapel, while Seraphine poured silver-black oil into the sacred fire behind him. They saw Queen Althea collapse, after drinking from a cup Seraphine had blessed. They saw Myra Vale, Alara's mother, hiding a little girl beneath a floor hatch while priests searched the house. They saw Seraphine press two fingers to the child's throat and seal away her voice before Myra fought her back long enough for a traitor's wagon to escape. Gasps turned to shouts. Mrs. Vera tried to run. Myra's voice rang from the side door.
There is more.
The old woman from the prison entered with two young guards supporting her. In one hand, she held Myra's second letter. In the other, a priest's record book, its pages marked with Seraphine's seal. I served Queen Althea, Myra said. I watched this woman poison the crown, curse the Alpha, and build her power on the fear of a chained man. Seraphine's calm broke at last. You fools, she hissed, backing toward the altar. I held this fortress together while he rotted below us. Kael rose. The hall drew back from him, but this time the movement carried awe instead of fear. He crossed the space slowly, each step steady, every trace of madness gone from his face. Seraphine lifted her hands to summon Ashfire. Alara spoke one word. Enough. The white wolf light snapped around Seraphine's wrists like living rope. The ash fire died before it formed. The silver blade fell from her hand and rang against the floor. For a long moment, no one spoke. Then Kael knelt in front of Ilara, there in the center of the moon hall, before every elder, priest, warrior, and servant who had ever looked through her. He took her bleeding wrist with care and pressed his forehead to her hand. The hall bowed with him. By sunrise, Seraphine was in the same lower chamber where she had kept Kael for years. Kael ordered the council to strip her title, seal her powers, and hold her for judgment under the old laws she had twisted for her own gain. He would not allow torture in his name, even after everything she had done. Mrs. Vera confessed before noon. She wept first, then blamed fear, then blamed Seraphine, then blamed Alara for making everything worse by surviving. Nobody listened for long. The servants who had once laughed at Alara watched as the housekeeper was marched from the fortress with her hands bound and her rank removed. The sight gave Alara no joy exactly. It gave her room to breathe. Blackthorn changed quickly after that, though the stone still remembered. The bitter runes on the west tower were carved out and burned. The moon chapel was washed with salt water and pine smoke. The old prison beneath the north wall was opened, and Myra was carried into a sunlit room with a real bed, clean blankets, and warm broth. She cried when she saw the sky through a window. Alara visited her every morning. At first, Alara spoke only a little. Her voice was still tender, like a limb used after years of being bound. Some words came easily, others caught on old fear. Kael never rushed her. He listened to every broken sentence as if each one were a vow. 3 days after the council, he found her in the inner garden at dusk. The snow had begun to melt along the stone paths. Water dripped from black branches. The air smelled of wet earth and pine, and the fortress behind them glowed with hundreds of candles lit for the cleansing rite. Alara stood near the frozen fountain, wearing a simple dark dress and the white wolf cloth tied around her wrist. She looked less like the maid the fortress had ignored, and more like someone the walls had been waiting to remember. Kael stopped a few steps away. He was still healing. Silver burns marked his skin. His body carried the story of every year he had spent fighting a curse from the inside. Yet his presence had changed. The wild pressure remained, but now it moved with control, like a storm choosing where to break. Ilara, he said. She turned. For a while, they only looked at each other. So much had happened in the space of days that ordinary speech felt too small for it. She had cleaned blood from his hands. He had called her name through stone. She had kissed breath back into his body. He had bowed before a hall that once treated her like nothing. Kael reached into his coat and took out the black wolf crest. The same crest Mrs. Vera had used to frame her. "I should have given this to you myself," he said. Alara looked at the silver emblem resting in his palm. "What does it mean?" "My protection, my house, my trust." His voice lowered. "Only if you want any of those things." Her throat tightened, though this time it did not close. Kael stepped closer, then went down on one knee before her on the wet garden stones. Alara stared at him, stunned. A king kneeling before a former maid would become a story by morning. He knew that. He did it anyway. "I will never call a curse fate," he said. "I will never use blood, prophecy, or old magic to claim you. You gave me back my mind when everyone else had given me a cage. You gave me back my name when I had nearly forgotten it. If you choose to leave Blackthorn, I will send guards with you and make every road safe. If you choose to stay, I will spend the rest of my life proving this fortress can become a home worthy of you." Alara's eyes burned. All her life, other people had decided what her silence meant. They had called it obedience, guilt, stupidity, weakness. Kael looked at her as if her choice had weight, as if her voice mattered even when it shook. She took the crest from his hand. Then she touched his face, the way she had in the cursed chamber when the blood moon was breaking above them. "I am staying," she said. Kael closed his eyes for one breath. Alara smiled through her tears. "I am staying because I choose you." He rose slowly, and when he kissed her, there was no curse between them, no desperate fight for breath, no chains dragging against stone, only warmth, pine air, and the quiet sound of candles burning in the fortress that had once been afraid of them both. That night, during the cleansing rite, Kael stood before the gathered packs with Alara beside him. He did not introduce her as a servant, a blood witch, a rescued girl, or a symbol from an old line. He called her Alara Vale, last voice of the White Wolf bloodline, chosen guardian of Blackthorn, and the woman who had saved her alpha before she ever knew she had the power to save herself. The packs bowed. Alara looked over the hall, at the servants, warriors, priests, and elders. Some faces showed shame. Some showed awe. A few showed fear. She no longer needed any of them to decide what she was. Kael's hand found hers. Outside, beyond the open doors, a wolf howled from the dark forest. One by one, the packs answered until the whole valley trembled with the sound. Alara lifted her face to the moon and answered too.